Hey, thanks for downloading the show. It's Mike McGuire here. You're getting the free edition of Sunday Night's Main Event, which airs across Canada on the TSN and iHeartRadio Talk Networks, as well as through other affiliate stations. Now, the reason I'm here is to give you a Patreon pitch, but hold on before you just scroll ahead here. Just give me a second, okay? I want to let you know that today's episode, without commercials, without edits, is over 57 minutes long today. That's the Patreon version. That includes a lot more in-depth coverage with Dave Meltzer. That includes everything else that you get in the show. But what it doesn't include are any other commercials. So you get all that. You get the extra content. You also get the show early, like you're getting it today because of Forbidden Door. A reminder, we have a live after party for Forbidden Door tonight happening through the Sunday Night's Main Event socials. So if you'd like to be a part of that as well, you actually get to participate in all our after parties. And we're going to be adding more and more content. I'm sitting on some interviews coming up, as well as some whole interviews that you do eventually get on the free feed. But if you'd like to hear them first, sooner than anybody else, again, unedited, they come to you through the Patreon here. Plus, you get all the other podcasts. I think we're up to 8, maybe 9 podcasts a week now, differently between the shows that we cover and the extra bonus stuff that we do. So you get to hang out with Mouth. You get to hang out with Agnew. You get to hang out with Joe and Boris and Matt, the Smack Daddies out east. And yeah, sometimes me too. Mark Andrada is going to be coming back time to time as well. It's going to be a fun time. And we do appreciate your support because this show is 100% crowdfunded. So if you can swing it, we greatly appreciate it. Hey, I understand that even $5 a month can be a lot to people. So that's okay too. Either way, thank you for supporting Sunday Night's Main Event. And if you can, consider patreon.com/SNME Radio. We appreciate it. Enjoy the show. Enjoy Forbidden Door. We'll talk to you later tonight. Tonight, All Elite Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling present Forbidden Door live on pay-per-view. Could Hiroshi Tanahashi, one of the biggest stars in New Japan, leave with AEW's top prize? The Game says he's back in NXT. But for how long will Hunter be around? Tony Khan takes a firm stand on the Jeff Hardy DUI situation. John Cena returns tomorrow night on Raw. Plus, we get to hang out one-on-one with WWE Hall of Famer, the Godfather, Charles Wright. It's a packed show, so let's go. It's Sunday night's main event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hey, it's Mike McGuire. This is Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday night's main event. On the road, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. This week, the summer of SNME Roadshow continues. After having a wild weekend last week with BEW in Outlook, Melfort, and Warman, Saskatchewan, all three great towns, I'm coming to you from the home of TSN 1260, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Big shout out to Top Talent Wrestling, who invited me out to their show, as well as Love Pro Wrestling, that has a show here in Edmonton. Also, to all the indie promotions everywhere, hey, let us know what's coming up. We'll do our best to get the word out for you as well. Now, this show is always available to you for free on the air on TSN Radio, the iHeartRadio and News Talk Networks, through several affiliate stations everywhere, and online at snmeradio.com. This week, the Godfather's in the house. WWE Hall of Famer Charles Wright and I are going to talk all about Papa Shango, comma, the Godfather, much to his chagrin, the Good Father, and much more. If you'd like to get this show early, including extended episodes of the show, full-length interviews, daily podcasts covering a wide variety of wrestling, music, trivia, and a bunch more, sign up for our Patreon at just pennies a podcast, patreon.com/SNME Radio. As always, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is here. We're going to talk about some of these insane stories this week, so let's get to them. It's this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
After telling media that he's open to the idea of AEW championships being held by talents from other promotions, Tony Khan has left the door open to whether or not AEW interim world champion Tanahashi could become a reality. On Friday, Tony Khan covered a variety of topics, including the growing relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling. By the time we air in some markets, Forbidden Door will be over, so we're going to wait and see if any titles are heading overseas during the G1. Tony Khan also wasn't pulling any punches on that media call when it came to Jeff Hardy's recent DUI arrest. When asked by a reporter to compare Jeff's apparent alcoholism issues with those of Jon Moxley's, who checked himself into rehab about a year ago, TK was very adamant that the two couldn't be further related from one another. Khan reiterated that while Jeff Hardy has his and AEW's support, he said that Jeff was also in the, quote, last chance saloon, which seemed to indicate that it was either going to be a sink or swim from an AEW employment standpoint for Jeff Hardy. Well, a little after a week removed from the alleged hush money scandal, Vince McMahon was doing leaps in and out of the ring promoting John Cena's return. Some other wrestling personalities are drawing some different controversies of their own in the States. Glenn Jacobs, formerly known as Kane, tweeted out his support for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the abortion's rights decision that was basically nullified by the U.S. Supreme Court this past week, and he drew a lot of ire from several wrestlers, including Britt Baker and Saraya, the former Paige, from WWE. Now, everything surrounding her husband makes you think that Linda McMahon might want to lay low, but she also tweeted support, but was quickly countered by people who shared her own tweet, which said that she is and always will be a pro-choice candidate. This is a lot to get into for a wrestling show. I guess if nothing else, this serves as a reminder that not everything is as it seems in the world that we are fans of. The Game is back behind the helm of WWE NXT, or NXT 2.0, or maybe it's just NXT again. I don't know. With all the controversy surrounding John Laurinaitis, who's a part of that Vince McMahon scandal right now. By the way, Laurinaitis put on administrative leave earlier this week. Bruce Pritchard taking over in Laurinaitis' role in talent relations. This means that there was an opening for WWE's NXT to have a creative head again. And just like that, Triple H back in charge. Of course, it wasn't that long ago that WWE NXT was the training ground that turned into a bit of a super indie of its own, and almost became a viable third WWE brand before losing the ratings war to AEW Dynamite. Now, no word as to what Triple H will be doing, if anything, to change NXT 2.0, but this could all of a sudden make things a lot more interesting for fans who may have missed his style of recruiting and talent development. And since we're doing the show from Alberta this week, here's a fun story. Dungeon Wrestling, presented by the son of Bret the Hitman Hart, Dallas Hart, is putting on a live show during Calgary Stampede Week. Brian Pillman Jr. is among those who have been signed to appear on the card. Also in attendance, yeah, Bret the Hitman Hart will be there for a meet and greet. Bret has been making sporadic appearances in the US and Canada as of late, but this is going to be the first time at a full-on wrestling event during Stampede Week in Calgary that Bret's made an appearance since the Canadian Stampede pay-per-view back in 1997. The Romero Rumble is happening on July the 9th. You can look up Dungeon Wrestling for more details on that. Okay, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is standing by as he does every week to help us filter through these stories. We're going to get some of your feedback on Tanahashi possibly being the new AEW Interim World Champion and a highlight from a recent sit-down I had with WWE Hall of Famer, the Godfather, Charles Wright, all coming up right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat. And a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
with Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's Main Event.
Dave, happy Forbidden Door Eve. Huh. Today is the day, of course, where Forbidden Door takes place in Chicago at the United Center. Now, this card has gone through many a change, many an injury, many a talent change, and some people are saying this card has been cursed. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, it's been jinxed really bad. I mean, it's funny because the card and all of the angles to lead to the card were pretty much final. I don't want to say finalized, but envisioned and kind of, there was a big booking meeting in Los Angeles on June the 1st. And everybody after that was like so excited about this card. And then one thing after another happened, all the TV changed and there's all kinds of, you know, it should be a lot of really good matches. I saw the star rating odds, right?
Right.
That they do. And I mean, it was like almost every match on the main card, eight out of nine, I think, had like a 4-star or above if you were going to bet on the star ratings. And that's highly unusual for anybody. That's like, I looked at that and go like, oh my God, they're more enthusiastic maybe than me, but they're predicting like this awesome wrestling card. We've had so many great matches that just great matches alone isn't going to cut it. We need surprises, which there will be surprises. We need stories, championship changes. They need a big show for a momentum shift right now. I mean, I don't think that we really understood until like the last week or two how much CM Punk meant to that company.
No kidding.
Ever since he left, I mean, you can see the difference in the ratings and you can see the difference in ticket sales and everything. And they're fine, but they're not great other than Detroit, which is very good. And tonight, you know, in Chicago, you know, the secondary market is so weak for a show that when the tickets first went on sale, there were more people looking to get tickets first day to this show than any show this year other than WrestleMania. And now that we're the day of the show, the scalpers, you know, are having trouble, you know, because Chicago market, no CM Punk. The question about like that interim championship instead of the AEW championship, because people don't take I don't think people take the interim championship that strong because of the nature of how it was put together. And when you have your world champion get injured, it's always tough. And then
the build for Punk was so high and so long, too. Like they took a long time to get him there.
Yes.
Which was smart. But now it's that big crescendo leading to a flat note because he's out.
Yep.
And I can see that exactly where, I mean, people are still going to be excited for the show. I know I'm going to be watching with some friends tonight. We're going to do an after party here on the SNME socials and everything, but I'm going to be interested to watch this show, but I'm almost walking into this show now as a viewer, taking it. And I don't mean by quality levels, but I'm taking it as an indie show where I'm not that familiar with most of the talent from New Japan side, because I don't watch constantly and all the time, but I do pay attention to the big shows. But there's a lot of names here that there's not a lot of story behind these matches.
No.
There's not a lot of rivalry, you know, opponents are changing. There's just not that, it's missing that meat and potatoes part of any good wrestling rivalry. And I wanted to ask you this too. Do you think it was a mistake to not make this more of a New Japan versus AEW angle? Or do you think that this was the right move to make because so many faces are unfamiliar to North American fans?
You know, it's really tough because they had to introduce so many people so quickly. And it may have been better to have like the top of the card with some of these matches and really focus on the top of the card and like the Okada, Tanahashi, Will Ospreay, that level of Jay White, those level of guys, and really focus on them hard. Because like so many of the guys on the show are just kind of, they're just kind of there, and there hasn't been a big build for them. You know, and Aussie Open's been on TV for weeks, look good. They're not on the show, although maybe they'll, you know, do a thing. You know, the Jeff Cobb and Great O'Conn, you know, it's a big tag team title match with multiple titles, you know, at stake, you know, ROH and IWGP. But and they, you know, they've done the perfunctory run-ins and matches and everything's been fine, but the spark hasn't been there, you know, because people don't really know the Great O'Conn, and they barely know Jeff Cobb. I think a lot of the AEW audience, he's been on the shows a couple of times. So it's like it's thrown so many new people at once, and it's tough.
I wanted your thoughts on whether or not having Tanahashi walk away as interim champion, because I don't know if you were at that press call that happened on Friday or not, but I got to be a part of it as well.
I was.
Tanahashi as world champion, he did say in that call he was open to entertaining the idea, or open to the idea, I guess, of AEW championships appearing in other promotions. So we've had this with Ring of Honor. I mean, he owns that promotion. That's fine. But we've had it with AAA. We've seen New Japan champions. Do you think there's a chance the AEW Interim World Championship goes with Tanahashi and they bank on him? Or is the smart money to put it on Moxley?
I would go with Moxley. I don't feel Tanahashi's strong enough in this marketplace yet to do that, which is funny because people are really on my case because I did say that it would be really cool if Adam Page won the IWGP, right, which I don't expect him to win. But, you know, Adam Page was a longtime AEW world champion over the last year. He beat Kenny Omega for the title. Kenny Omega is kind of a legend in Japan and whatever. I mean, you can go either way. I just feel that you need one of those titles to go to the other company. And it's like Tanahashi as a short-term champion isn't bad. Right now is a weird time for AEW. And I don't think it's the right time to go with Tanahashi. There's at another point in time, I would say that, like, let's establish the show. Let's surprise everybody. I just don't feel it right now. I wouldn't have felt it anyway with Punk either. I wouldn't have wanted Tanahashi to be Punk. I always felt Tanahashi was there and picked because he's a legitimate superstar that New Japan is not protecting to the point where it's like, hey, if you get Tanahashi, he can't lose. Tanahashi's kind of at that level like Minoru Suzuki, where it's like, yeah, go in there, have a great match. But you can beat him. He's not like the guys that we're protecting on top right now.
Yeah. And the thing is that we go to the mainstream marketing. I can tell people, like friends of mine that don't watch wrestling, if they were to come and join us to watch the show tonight, I can say, hey, remember Dean Ambrose? That's him now. Whereas I can't say, hey, this is Hiroshi Tanahashi. And then you basically have to give his resume before he's qualified to be on your TV screen, right? So it'll be interesting. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to do it, to put it on Tanahashi. But again,
I don't think it's the right time.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk more about this AEW world title situation here. Dan the Mouth Lavransky, by the way, going to be standing by to talk about that. But Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is here. Going back to that media call, Dave, the question of Jeff Hardy came up and the reporter made a comparison between Jeff Hardy's issues with alcohol and John Moxley's. Now, TK got downright annoyed by this and he came back afterwards and kind of softened his approach on it, but he said they were two very different situations.
They are. They're completely different. Yes, I agree.
So with him saying that Jeff Hardy is in the last chance saloon by saying like this is it, it's do or die basically.
Yes.
And I'm rooting for Jeff. I try and root for anybody in this situation until it becomes dangerous, but I think you can even hear that in Tony Khan's voice. When he chose to drive that way, that's where Tony kind of drew the line right there. Said, look, we're going to give you the help you need. You've asked for it. We're going to give it to you. But if it doesn't go, you're not going to be in AEW anymore. I'm cheering for Jeff. I don't want people to think that I'm jumping all over this. But in a way, I kind of am. I have no tolerance for drunk drivers. I have no reason for it.
We shouldn't have tolerance for drunk drivers. And yeah. It was a big risk to sign him. Absolutely a big risk to sign him. When he left WWE, I knew that they would sign him, and I knew that there was a big chance something like, not necessarily this, but something bad would happen, because with Jeff, it always has. And it's unfortunate and it's sad. And I hope the rehab goes well. And if it doesn't, I think that's it for him. And, you know, but will Impact take him?
But can we talk him out of wrestling anymore? Because I said this before, we don't need... Like, as a fan, I would rather go on record and say, Jeff, I don't need to see you wrestle if it's going to mean that it leads to you drinking and driving. I don't need to see that at all.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Probably the biggest return in wrestling for the summer, at least. John Cena comes back tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. Is this the PR savior that WWE needs right now to get away from all the scandals and all the other things going on? Or is it just going to be a completely isolated thing? The two are still going to be prominent for different reasons.
The scandals helped their interest. You can't deny it. The TV numbers were through the roof this last week. And the scandal was the main reason why, because there was, you know, people didn't know Brock Lesnar was coming, you know, in that match.
Yep.
And Brock helps. John Cena will help more. You know, the return of John Cena. I expect a huge rating tomorrow night for John Cena's return. I know that the shows that John Cena works, however many they will be, will draw very, very well. And you know, the ratings will be way up, especially with the younger viewers, with John back, you know, however many TVs he's going to do up through SummerSlam. And SummerSlam will be a very successful show. I'm really interested when they announce the SummerSlam match. And again, how much, you know, he's going to be able to do, you know, schedule wise, because he'll do whatever he can for as long as he can. You know, last year he went on the road to all the house shows. So
yeah,
he's not averse to doing that. He's a bit, you know, John's a huge help to the company when he's around.
Tonight, Forbidden Door. Do you think we see either Kenny Omega or MJF show up?
I mean, I haven't heard anything of it, but that would be the type of stuff they would keep quiet for me anyway.
Right.
I think it's the opportune time I think it's an opportune time for Kenny Omega to walk out. You know who else I think would be an opportune time to walk out and not wrestle is Kota Ibushi. I think that you could do, if you did those two things, and Ibushi, not as much for this audience, but still for the hardcores. If he just,
oh yeah,
all of a sudden just walks out and confronts somebody, maybe, you know, Okada wins, maybe Kenny walks out, maybe Kota walks out, maybe they both walk out, maybe they walk out and distract Okada and he loses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't expect any of this, but I'm saying, like, yeah, timing wise to save, I don't say save the show, but to make the show, because to me right now, what the show needs is that unpredictable thing that nobody's expecting to say, hey, you know, you're all down on the show, but we gave you everything you wanted, everything we advertised, and then we gave you something a little bit more. And Kenny and Kota, you know, and I don't expect Kota at all. And Kenny, you know, even if he's not ready to wrestle, him going down there and walking out, I actually think that they should do that. Yes. You know, I mean,
show up, point the finger gun, you know,
yep,
do the
yep,
thing yep. And say, hey, Omega's back.
Or even go like, I'm not back, but I will be back.
He's coming. And yeah, he's coming.
I'm back. And John Moxley, I want you, or Okada, I want you, or, you know,
our, like, new AEW world champion Tanahashi, I want you.
yeah Moxley, you know, it's like, just go in there and go like, there will come a day and it's not that far away. And yes, I would say that, you know, really, because of everything that happened and the way it happened, I think this would be the show for him to just kind of like walk out. Yeah, it'd be great.
There you have it. All right. We're hoping for something tonight, hopefully, because right now I'm with you, Dave. I think the anticipation factor for this show has dwindled greatly since its announcement. But these are sometimes the shows that come out of the dark and blow us all away. So we'll see what happens tonight. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great week.
Just a reminder, tonight as well, SNME Radio family, you're welcome to join us if you're a patron. You can be a part of the conversation, but if you want to watch along, we will be doing an after party for Forbidden Door. So it's your chance to hear some feedback, offer some feedback. And speaking of patrons, you're going to get the entire version of what we're going to hear next. It's a special sit down that I had one-on-one here in the camper. I almost want to call it the Wrestle Wagon. That's a dumb name. Either way, fun conversation with Charles Wright, the Godfather, including his retort to a story The Undertaker told on a Steve Austin's Broken Skull Session show not too long ago. It's a ton of fun. Plus, we're going to hear some of your feedback and Dan the Mouth Lavransky all on the way on Sunday night's main event.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
We'll be right back.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
It's Mike McGuire here, and I don't want to waste a lot of time, but I did want to give a big shout-out to the towns of Outlook, Warman, and Melfort, Saskatchewan. That's where I was last weekend as we take the show on the road. We've been all across Canada, all across the United States this summer, and we're still going as I sit here in the mobile studio in Edmonton, Alberta, home of TSN 1260, which proudly carries Sunday Night's Main Event. We were in Saskatchewan last week with WWE Hall of Famer, the Godfather, Charles Wright. Spent a whole day with him the day before. We talked so little about wrestling, so I said, hey, man, I do Canada's only national wrestling radio show. Right now I'm doing it in that camper. Would you be so kind as to come and be my first mobile studio guest? Godfather was all for it. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Just highlights from it anyways. With the Godfather, Charles Wright, here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Godfather, Charles Wright, man. Tell me this isn't the weirdest place you've done an interview, though. Like,
I've done some interviews in some weird places, so this isn't that bad, brother. I've been in a lot worse than this. Not saying this is bad, but thank you for having me on your show.
You know what's amazing is whenever a named talent like yourself comes to an indie wrestling show, and I've been around indie wrestling for longer than I've been around radio, to be honest with you, and that's 20 years. So it's always funny sometimes what kind of personality you're going to get. And talking to you yesterday, like, we talked about anything but wrestling. We talked about campers. We talked about trailers like this one. We talked about
dogs. Chairs,
dogs. Yeah, exactly. You must just be like everybody's best friend, man.
I'm the Godfather.
Well, yeah, but okay, let's take the Godfather away for a second. Let's talk
about that's hard to do because Charles Wright is, I'm telling you, Charles Wright and the Godfather, besides, I don't usually dress this way normally.
Well,
besides that, it's the same personality. Not the fact that if you were a pimp or if these girls or whatever, just the personality itself, Charles Wright and the Godfather, it's the same. And I think you've seen that by talking with me. The other guys are probably like, hey, he's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's just it. I've had names and not names. And it's funny, in my encounters, whether it's music, whether it's wrestling, whether it's comedy, I always find that the people that are usually the most successful, and we'll talk about your success in a bit here, but usually the ones that are the most successful are the most comfortable with themselves and are usually the easiest to get along with and deal with. So take that as a compliment, sir, because you definitely fit that description.
Well, I'll take it. I'll take any type of good thing with me.
Have you ever been to Saskatchewan before? You must have been with WWF,
yes,
right?
Yes, back in way back, probably early 90s is the last time I was here. Probably early 90s is Papa Shango.
Have you ever been to small town Saskatchewan like this?
I've been to small towns like this all over the world, brother. And sometimes the best fans and the best reactions and the best times that you have are in places like this.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. I mean, you can go to a big city and it's all hustle and bustle and run. But here you get to settle down. You get to go over your match. You get to involve the people. You get to entertain the people. So I love these small shows, even though I don't wrestle anymore. But
no,
you know,
but
I still do my thing.
The people love you. It's so great to see the reactions, especially of the younger kids who maybe aren't familiar with the Godfather or Papa Shango or Kama or the Good Father, which we have to talk about after the way you talked about it yesterday, but just, we'll get there.
Had to ruin my, you know what?
I know, but I'm going to get you back in a good mood. I promise. Right. Look, we found a drink. We're good. We're chill. We're having a good time, right? I should have put my laundry soap away, but that's another story for another time.
Are those dirty underwear up there?
No, that's a shirt.
Okay.
I promise.
You could have cleaned the house a little bit before I came.
Dude, this is clean.
Oh,
boy. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you get a camper, if you get a trailer,
yes.
Welcome to the rest of your life. You're going to be organizing every time you stop somewhere. All you do is organize, and then you go somewhere, you pack it all up. Then you get to that place. Guess what you're doing again?
Reorganizing.
So, on that note, the Godfather, for those that don't know, you told me yesterday, been married 23 years.
Yes.
23 years.
And happy years.
Your wife is the one that you credit as creating the Godfather.
She is the one who created the Godfather. I was in the Nation of Domination, and it was kind of coming to its end, and The Rock was kind of going off doing his thing. Mark Henry and D'Lo were tagging up, and I was kind of like left, you know, to come up with something. I was having so much fun at that time that I wanted to stick around. So my wife's idea was this Godfather's character from, I fought her on everything. I fought her on the clothes. I fought her on the colors of the vest. I wanted to be a mean pimp, not a good pimp. I wanted to wear black. And everything that I fought her on, and I ended up doing, it all worked out pretty well. And a lot of people don't know this. This was not developed by the WWE and their creative. This was all me and my wife's ideas. And they were so nice to give me the opportunity to just go out there and perform. I was never scripted. They never asked me what I was going to say. I mean, there was an episode with Undertaker. I think I asked him, I know you like, I'm sure you heard that one. And so, I mean, he had no idea I was going to say that. But, I mean, it was a good time. I met Mark in 88 in the Mid-South for Jerry Lawler. I think it wasn't USWA. At that time, it was called CWA. Okay. And they brought him in, and we had one match together, and it was probably the worst match in the history of wrestling because I was so green it wasn't funny, and he'd been in the business a year or so. And so they decided to put us together, and they made us a tag team called Death Express.
All right.
And it was a short-lived tag team because he ended up going to the WCW, and I went to Germany. But that's where we met. We've rode these roads. We've been through three wives, kids, problems. We've been through it, man. And I will say he's like your brother. He's not my brother. He's my one of my best friends, and he's family.
Yeah.
He is.
No, and that's totally fair. I don't want to make this all about that either. But I just know, especially after his Hall of Fame speech and seeing you and him both talk about each other, that there's definitely a lot of history there. So, and I do remember that time where you asked him if he liked, and you almost got him. Was that a game you'd always play with him? Or
I've wrestled him as Papa Shango, yeah. Kama, uh-huh. Kama Mustafa, yeah. Good Father, Godfather. And when I was in Money Incorporated with Ted DiBiase, I had a run with him. But I think that was Kama. But I've always tried to get him to break character from the beginning.
Did you ever get it?
No. The closest I came is when I was the Godfather, and I got Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
Paul Bearer was like, when I was like, I know you like, and Paul Bearer was like, oh yeah, I can't go high like that. Nor, oh yeah, I can't do it. But he's like, oh yeah. And so, that's the closest I ever came. He used to just shut it, knock it off. And I just keep digging at him.
Now, I did get a question from one of our listeners, because I said I was going to be talking to you today, and this will be the last taker thing I ask you. But it was something that he had talked about on one of the Broken Skull sessions that he did with Steve Austin. And he's talking about a road trip with you. I just want to get the notes here right, because
this must be about the car.
This is exactly, that's what I'm talking about. So we've heard Undertaker's side of the story. What I want to do right now is give you your platform for your side of the story.
Well, most of what he says is true. I only have one problem with what he said.
And we should preface this, though. So on the show, Taker brought up the story where you were driving a Blizzard and how you wanted to take over the final few miles because it was your car, and then they spun out. You spun out.
We did a show in Memphis. We lived in Nashville, which is a three-hour drive, 200 miles.
Okay.
And when we get to, the weather was fine when we went to Memphis, but when we got there, Mr. Coffee came out and said, hey, they canceled the show. There's a hell of a storm coming in. You guys might want to bed down. But we weren't making much money back then. I mean,
right.
We'd be three in a car. It was me, him, Dirty White Boy, who was Tony Anthony, and a Dirty White Girl was Kim something, his girl. And all together, we didn't have enough money because we didn't get paid. We didn't have money for our hotel. So we're like, we can make it. Let's just foot it back. The weather's all right. So I think we went someplace and ate, and then we got on the road, and when we got on the road, it just opened up. I mean, a full-blown blizzard.
Okay.
And within minutes, the road was covered with snow. And so Taker's driving my car. I had a Ford Taurus, and Taker's driving my car, and he's doing great, man. And we're
Did you buy that car new?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's
why. I bought it new in Vegas.
I can see why now. I can already see it, yeah.
Yeah, brand new car in Vegas. I had a brand new Taurus, I had a brand new Harley, and I had a brand new truck, F-100. But the truck took so much gas, we would take the other, and we could get more people in it. So, I mean, we're driving down this blizzard, and there's people stranded on the road. There's cars on the middle of the road, trucks jackknifed. It's a mess. Taker's like going through a jigsaw puzzle to get through this stuff. So he got about maybe halfway T says he was almost to Nashville. He wasn't. We're about halfway to Nashville, and we've been on the road for like 4 hours. It's only a 3-hour drive. And so I got the good idea. I want to drive. And so he's like, nah, nah, nah. I'm like, no, it's my car. I want to drive. He's like, no, nah, dude, I've got us this far. You're from Vegas. You never drove in the snow. You don't know how. I want. You know, I'm hard-headed back then. A little bit now. So he finally gives in and lets me drive. Now, this is where we differ a little bit. He says that I got in the car and immediately put us in a spin, which ended up in a ditch and a blown tire and us hanging over it was bad.
Like a cartoon hanging over a cliff or something? Yeah, like
where we had to all get out on one side of the car. And so that's where I don't agree with him. He says that I got like 10 feet. And I'm telling you, dude, I got at least 10 yards. At least 10 yards. Oh, and I don't know when this is going to show next week. But I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. Those that are taking care of business, Father's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm deadbeat dads. I don't got time for it. But
for the good fathers, if you would.
You just had to.
I'm sorry.
Just had to change my mood again.
Okay, I didn't know this, though.
Dude, you're a heat seeker. You just like to seek heat with me.
I feel like we're pals now, man. We bust balls, you know? But I may never see you again. You may never see me again. But today I'm going to remember it was a good day with the Godfather. But I didn't realize that you really didn't like that character at all.
I was having so much fun. See, for me, it's a long story, but for me, wrestling was fun. Mm-hmm. I owned a strip club. I was one of the owners of a strip club called Cheetahs in Las Vegas. So I always had money coming in.
Right.
The money's great with the WWFE, but I could survive without it.
Right.
And so I was there at the time, to be around big, crazy knuckleheads such as myself that were just, most of us were athletes or strong men or played football, and we all were big old dummies. It was fun to be around people that were stupid and as crazy as I was. And so, I mean, that was the draw for me. I started thinking about things. What was the question?
Oh, just talking about good father.
That's why, because you're talking about the good father. So I'm having a good time. Everything's good. And one day Vince calls me in the office and says, Charles, change of plans. When he says change of plans, it's never good. He said that to me once before. And I'm like, what's up? He goes, well, I'm taking so much heat. And I knew he used to tell me, Charles, I'm fighting for you. He says, but I mean, they were coming down on DX and the puppies and everything. And especially me. I mean, all the things I was talking about. So he goes, we're going to poke fun at this group for a little bit. I want you to be part of it. And at that point I was like, you know what? I just kept saying, so no more girls. He's like, no, Charles, we're going to do this. I'm like, so no more girls, no more pimp. He's like, no, Charles, none of that. And he goes, you're going to have a match with somebody, you're going to lose, and then it's going to put you in the right to censor. And so I was ready to leave right then. So Vince got word that I was getting ready to leave, and being the ribber that he is, he dropped the straps on us, me and Bull.
Oh, no.
Because me being a loyal dude, I'm not going to leave the company with the straps. So,
right.
Because he got word that I was leaving. He's just messing with me. And so I told him, when you drop these straps, when you take these straps off of us, I'm out of here. And then as soon as he did, I was. Because it was hard. I did the best I could at it, and I think I did a good job. But I went from having fun, being yourself, not scripted, just being you, to being this guy that you're not. And now I'm against all that stuff. So, I mean, I did the best job I could, but it was not fun. And I turned into the bear. I wasn't happy.
That's
but
fair.
I did the best job. I did the best job I could do.
That's the Godfather, Charles Wright. We go for about a half an hour in the full version of that interview, which, if you're a Patreon member, for as little as about $1 a week, patreon.com/SNME Radio, you will get that entire interview uncensored, unedited, and it'll be up later on this week for you to enjoy as part of your membership. A little thank you for supporting the show, because we are crowdfunded. There isn't a ton of cash that comes into this thing, so whatever you can give is greatly appreciated. I'm going to do my best while I'm out here touring around. I'll tell you right now, we got some big guests on deck to make it worth your while. So thank you very much for your support of the show. Coming up, we're going to talk about tonight's show, which, depending where you're listening, may have already happened, but we're going to get some of your feedback on AEW's Forbidden Door and the possibility
of a New Japan Pro Wrestling star walking away with the AEW World Championship next on Sunday Night's Main Event from Edmonton.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down.
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
That right there, the entrance theme for one Hiroshi Tanahashi, who walks into AEW and New Japan's Forbidden Door tonight. The big pay-per-view where an interim AEW World Championship will be determined. Now, this is very interesting because, again, for a lot of North American fans who don't follow New Japan Pro Wrestling, this means that the second biggest pro wrestling company in North America could be headlined by a complete outsider as interim champion. We threw it out to you, the SNME Radio family, on our SNME Radio Facebook page. What if Tanahashi becomes the AEW interim champion? Good or bad for the company? Paul York from over in the UK says, I'd like him to win so we could get the Punk Tanahashi match that was originally planned, but with the G1, I can't see it happening, which is a shame. Justin Drummond says, I'd love if this was a decision they made. That being said, if they were going to have a champion that wasn't going to be around for a while, G1, I'd argue that you don't need to do an interim title at all. Yeah, a lot of people are kind of saying the same thing here. Angelo Mantios says, do it. But I wanted to throw it over to you, the listener, as well, who takes time to contribute to our shows, takes time to write on our posts. So we're going to head to Devin Axtman in Texas. Devin, what are your thoughts on Hiroshi Tanahashi, John Moxley, interim world championship? And if Tanahashi wins, is this a good or bad thing for the company?
Well, I think they can do it. They have enough titles. You know, I've heard a lot that, oh, you know, him having this title in Japan, I don't know. You know, it's an interim title. And I think AEW has enough titles to where it doesn't matter, you know. And I think, too, Tana is one of the best wrestlers to ever walk the face of the earth, probably. So they could have him go away to Japan, do the G1, come back and drop it to Punk or do whatever they want to do on a Dynamite.
All right, so I know you also have some feelings about the casual fan base. And let's face it, AEW is on TBS. They're trying to get big numbers. They're trying to get big ratings for a new TV deal coming up soon. Everybody talks about the casual fan. You're not buying that, though, are you?
Nobody's been able to define to me who these casual fans are. I think if you just put on a really good wrestling show with good wrestling, people that like to watch wrestling will watch it. Because I think when people say casual fans, it's somebody that they don't necessarily know about, or maybe it's something they don't like. So it's like, well, if I don't like it, then the casual fans aren't going to like it.
All right, Devin from Texas, diehard fan. Love it, buddy. Thank you for being part of the show.
Absolutely.
Once again, SNME Radio family member, Devin from Texas. Thank you for those thoughts, my man. All right, here to close us out with the thoughts, Hiroshi Tanahashi becoming the new AEW champion. Does this work for you? Yes or no? Is it a good idea or a bad idea? Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Dan the Mouth and Haircut Lavransky. The summer
dude. You are so obsessed. You are so obsessed with my haircut. That's hilarious.
All right, Mouth, Tanahashi. As AEW champion, does that help or hurt them if it happens?
Wow, that's such a big question. Honestly, I don't think it's the right move because Tanahashi has had a lot of issues physically with injuries over the last couple of years, and he's been in and out And he's had to take big breaks. And we all know the main curse that AEW seems to be suffering from right now is putting guys in top spots and they get hurt. CM Punk, Danielson, like it's crazy. So to me, to put Tanahashi in that spot is, I think it's risky. Not so much because I don't think he would be a good champion or that the fans would take to him, but I really think it's risky just physically and health-wise because the guy is pretty banged up, and this is already a major issue, and I don't know how many more times fans are going to sit around and go, oh, the guy I want to see the most is injured now, and it's like, I think it would be a liability. And the other thing is, I don't know if New Japan would want it any. I don't know if they would let it happen.
Where do you think AEW needs to focus on right now? I mean, the ratings did bounce back a little bit last week for Dynamite, which was good news. But again, we're still lacking star power here. What is the perfect scenario for you as a fan, not as an analyst, Dan, but just as a fan who watches the show every week? What do you want to see on this show coming up in the future?
Well, I honestly, a lot of the stuff that I wanted to see has got sidetracked by the injuries. Like, I was super intrigued with the idea of Punk as your world heavyweight champion. I just thought that gives you lots of great matchups. He'll be strong. He'll carry the belt well. He can cut promos. I was actually looking forward to seeing Punk have a long reign and a better reign than what Paige had, because Paige's Hangman's reign had real ups and downs to it, and I don't think it ended up being as strong as it could have been. But I would love to see Punk back. And you totally know how I feel about guys like Miro. I want them involved in higher end angles. It's tough though when you, like you said, you know, especially with both Danielson and Punk being out. It's because I really think those are two of the main guys that you needed to focus coming in. They're the two biggest acquisitions, and they're the two biggest guys that this audience really kind of wants to see. It's a tough situation right now for them. They're in a tough spot.
And on that note, Mouth, bring on Blood and Guts. This Wednesday night, that's what AEW is presenting here in Canada. It's on TSN. Of course, we'll be watching around the world and talking about it all next week, including probably who got hurt during the match. I agree with you 100%, though, man. These injuries are happening for reasons. You know, like, people are just stepping on the gas a little too much now, and I think it becomes an issue where you can bring in 100 guys and girls, and if they keep getting hurt, that's 100 on your injured reserve list. We'll find out what happens, Mouth, but thank you, sir, for jumping in. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to our guest this week, the Godfather. Remember,
yeah,
entire interview coming up if you're a Patreon member, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And yes, he goes into a lot more details about a lot more things that we couldn't cover aired here on the show. So, Mouth, thank you. Thank you, everyone else, for listening. We'll catch you again next week. Until then, thanks for listening and letting us do what we do. Play safe, drive safe. I'll be seeing ya,
brother.
Thanks for finding Sunday night's main event.